Well, good evening, church. If you would stand up on your feet tonight. We are going to kick off the service tonight with praise and worship. We get to be here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah.
A prodigal now redeemed. From where I was to where I'm now, it's overwhelming. The more and more I see you move all around me. Oh, I can't help but praise you, Lord. I can't help but lift up shouts of joy when I think of how good you've been, faithful now till the end. Oh, I can't help but praise you, Lord. And for the blood you spilled to save my life, a debt I cannot repay. For the cross bore with open arms salvation that called my name. From where I was to where I'm now, it's overwhelming. The more and more I see you move all around me. Oh, I can't help but praise you, Lord. Who opened my grave? Oh, I can't help but dance cause I'm free. Got no chains on me. I'm healed and redeemed. Oh, I can't help but call on the name that buried my shame. Who opened my grave? Oh, I can't help but praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord, and I can't help.
was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. So come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you would fill me. So come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you would fill me. I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I breathe you in. I breathe. Fill me, Holy Spirit, with your mighty rushing wind. I breathe you in. I breathe you in. When you come all of a sudden, I'm strong again. Oh, yes. Oh, Holy Spirit. Overflows. Breathe on me, O breath of God. Flood me with your living water. Rush through me now till my soul overflows.
All of a sudden, it's gonna come on. and amen. What I love about the Holy Spirit, He's always present with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And it's hard to believe tonight is night three of Pentecost Conference, but we're excited to be here. We have an amazing speaker and his wife here tonight. They were here last year. I got a chance to know Pastor Rick and Kathy when Pastor Dosik and I were actually in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, with Pastor Marco Peixoto, one of the largest churches in the entire world. But I heard messages he preached, and the Bible just comes out of this man. So I hope I want to encourage you. Have your ears ready to hear and your hearts ready to see, because I know tonight's going to be a special night for you. So I encourage you, whatever you have need of, use your faith tonight. Tonight's going to be your night of breakthrough. Tonight's going to be your night of victory. Tonight's going to be the night that you're going to see God show up stronger on your behalf. And I believe if you come with that faith, I believe God's going to meet you at your point of need. And guess what? Tonight will be a night of just breakthroughs for you. Answers to prayer that God, you've been praying for many, many months and many, many years. I believe tonight will be your night for that. This is the kind of confidence that I have in this man. I don't use this word very lightly. The word apostle is not one none of us go put titles on a lot of our speakers, but I would say this man definitely not only flows in the apostolic, but he's truly an apostle to the world. In Canada, he has a minister's network with almost 1,000 pastors under his covering. He literally travels the world. You know, I travel pretty much every month somewhere around the world. He travels probably at my pace and maybe even at a greater scale, but he's raising up leaders. He's touching thousands upon thousands of pastors, encouraging them. I know he was just in Greece. He was just in Italy. He was just in Bulgaria. He was in the United Kingdom, getting ready to go to Brazil again, getting ready to go to Malaysia. And literally crisscrosses Canada probably 3 to 5 times a week preaching the gospel. His pace, his stamina, and the gift that God's put within him is truly amazing. And we're so honored to have him here tonight here at Only Believe Church. Would you please give a warm welcome to Pastor Rick C. Marantero as he brings forth the message tonight.
Well, good evening. Is it coming out there? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. I get a little nervous when they invite me and they call me an apostle. Because in the Bible, they kill them all. They're one of the gifts, and I agree with that. And I so appreciate that. And appreciate Eric and Pastor Nicole, Pastor Randy. And how many of Grandma and Grandpa are here with us now? Okay. That's exciting. Kathy and I, since the last time I was here, now we have our first great-granddaughter. Yes. And then our youngest daughter's middle one, she got married a couple years ago, and she's due, I think it's around September, and she's going to have a boy. So that's going to be our first great-grandson. Yeah. We already have a great-granddaughter, and I married a girl that's 49, and she's looking fine over here. So we're just going to hold on. Amen. No, it's really an honor to be back here. And I just want to just say it really means a lot to me personally that Pastor Nicole and all the team here brought Dr. Bill Winston. Just a great blessing to the church world. Amen. But just the wisdom that the man has and the honor that we have for him and seeing him here, I just want you to know I'm proud of you guys. That really means a lot to me, especially when you're getting up in age a little bit more, you know. I'm going to be 74 in just a short month, another month and a half or two, whatever it is, and just excited about what God is doing in the world today. How many know things are happening all around the world? People are getting baptized around the world. People are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost around the world. It's not just a United States-Canada thing right now. Canada's going through probably the biggest metamorphosis that we've ever experienced right now. They're making laws now that we have no longer can quote from the book of Romans chapter 1 on the LGBT thing, because it says over there when they knew God, they glorify him as God, okay? And neither were they thankful, and then they turned him over to a reprobate. If we actually read that, it's 5 years in prison. reading from the scriptures, Leviticus, other ones in the same. 5 years, and that's a law that they're bringing, and you can check it out online, Bill C9. But how many know the Bible says when this all happens, he doesn't say to get depressed, he doesn't say get upset, he says arise and shine for your light has come, amen? It's time for the church in Canada to arise. It's been asleep for a long time, but God is waking it up, and we're very encouraged, amen? Are y'all ready for God's word tonight?
Yes.
If you look in the Bible, and it's very amazing that when we study biblical numerics, you'll see the number seven. And seven speaks about, very interesting, divine completeness or fulfillment. If you look at the number eight, it speaks about new beginning. And it's very interesting in the scriptures that we see Jesus actually shed outwardly the blood seven different times. I asked people this sometimes, and they said, well, how many times did he shed his blood? Well, maybe once or twice. If you look at it, the first time he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the weight of what was before him, he knew the cross, he knew everything that was going to happen, and that weight was on him. And the Bible says he sweat great drops of blood. Okay? And they've proven that now scientifically, that that can happen when the body goes under the stress and all the things that are on it. And what was the whole context of that? He was going before the Father, and he said, not my will, but your will be done. And so when Jesus shed his blood, come on, in the garden, how many know he got the willpower back to you and I today, amen? That we can make the right choices, choose life that you may live. How many know we can choose to bless, we can choose to give, we can choose to forgive, we can choose to advance the kingdom. How many know the power of choice is within us now today? Too many people are saying, you know, well, God's in control, he's got everything and this and that. Let me just tell you something, God is sovereign, amen? Come on, that's his character, that is his name. But how many know the keys of the kingdom have been given to you and I today? Amen. And what we do, a lot of times people say, well, God, we know he's going to do whatever he wants to do. No, God is in control of those that have yielded to his grace and yielded to his spirit in your life. Amen. For people to make a statement that God's in control of everyone and everything out there, let me tell you, he's in control of those that have yielded to him and given him, made him Lord of their lives. Amen. And that's the ones that get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the ones that God's using. That's the ones that are moving in the earth today. So many young people and so many people have false and different concepts of God. And I wish I had another hour to unpack this here because, well, you know, they say, well, God permitted it or God allowed it. We're the ones that permit things. We're the ones that live by the choices that we make. And everybody said amen. But that was just one of the things. So he said, not my will be done, but your will be done. And then, you know, the Bible teaches us over there that the stripes were put upon his back in the book of Isaiah when the prophet spoke about that, that by his stripes we are healed. How many know they put the lashes, 39 different lashes upon his back? And we all know that. I know at Only Believe Church, and it was for our healing. But when 1 Peter quotes that there, that by his stripes we are healed, the context in there is even emotional well-being. Come on. It's not just physical well-being, it's emotional well-being. And what I've recognized in my 52 years of ministry is a lot of the healing that's necessary today physically is rooted in deep emotional areas of hurt, pain, resentment, unforgiveness. Come on. All those things culminate inside of us. And so that's the second area. And then we know that his feet were what? His feet were pierced for you and I. And the scriptures teach us, therefore now being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Aren't you glad that we're at peace with God? We're not trying to get God's peace. We already got God's peace. Amen? Amen. And the Bible says where there's peace, it says the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on him whose heart is at peace before him. Literally, it's the Hebrew word we know as shalom today. And when you see that God wants to move in strength through us, but his heart is the one he's looking for, is one that's at peace today. Because where there's peace, there's power. Where there's peace, there's provision. Where there's peace, there's breakthrough. Where there's peace, you'll see the kingdom of God advance. Come on now. This is what it is. And I wish I had another hour to go on peace, but we don't have that time right now. Are you learning anything? So that's only number three. And then if you look in the garden, they put the crown of thorns on him. And when they pierced the thorns and they pushed him in, the blood just gushed out over there. And there was something that he got back for you and I there. He got the kingly anointing back for you and I. The Bible says in Romans 5:17, to him that receives the gift of righteousness, he's going to reign in this life as a king. My friends, the kingly anointing is open to every one of us that's in the room. When you were made righteous, not because of your works, not because of your goodness, when you were made righteous by the cross and the blood that was shed, the Bible said he who knew no sin was made to be an offering of sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our righteousness is what? It's already there. What does he say to do in the new covenant? Awake to righteousness and sin not. Many believers are stuck, and they're stuck in habits today. They're stuck in rebellion. They're stuck in selfishness today because they don't have a revelation of what righteousness actually is and what was purchased at the cross. Come on. And so that's why he says, awake to righteousness and sin not. The power was broken at the cross. And so we see that when Jesus put that kingly anointing upon our life, the new covenant tells us in Revelation chapter 1 that you and I are reigning as kings and priests. Priests are the intercessors that had access to God, but kings are the ones that use their dominion authority in the earth today. And God says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth, I'm going to back you in heaven, son. Whatever you loose on earth, I'm going to loosen in heaven. So I bind my mind to the mind of God. I bind my soul to the thoughts of God. Come on. I release everything of oppression that the enemy would try to bring against my mind. Depression can't stay. Obsession can't stay. Bitterness can't stay. Unforgiveness can't stay. Competition can't stay. Comparison can't stay. Jealousy can't stay. Why? Because we have now the kingly authority to get rid of that stuff. Are you with me? So I think we're somewhere around number four. And then you just keep going on out there, okay? And then his hands, what did his hands do? When they pierced his hands, we know that when the king would put the up, that means they had access to come in. When he would go down, that means you're in trouble. How many know the authority was given back through the cross? And so this is so powerful for you, and it's so powerful for me that we understand all about the authority that God has given us. Sometimes I feel very weak, but in the weakness, the authority still kicks in. Okay? And so anyway, and then that's number five. And then you look at the one that gets me the most. I appreciate years ago when Mel Gibson made the movie, The Passion of the Christ. Kathy actually had a visitation. I went out to Red Deer, Alberta, and we rented the entire theater for our church that right across the street, Silver City, and they had six of the eight theaters were all having The Passion of the Christ shown out there. So I had to go with a rabbi, and I had to go with a Catholic bishop to the first showing that was there, and then she went the next night, and when she went, she just totally just put her head down and says, you know, I can't watch this, because she came from a very violent upbringing with her dad. Her dad was a compulsive gambler, and her dad was an alcoholic, and he was a wife beater. And so she remembers 5 years old, she could tell the story about, it's in her book On the Cross, that her daddy was taken out of the house by the police, and that just put them on a Via Della Rosa. It wasn't a good road, a very good road, a road of suffering for many, many years. Many times over the years, they had to move several times in 1 year. That's tough on kids in school. Come on. So anyway, we bring that whole point out over there because she understands. So when Mel did the movie, it was excellent done. It was very, very biblically accurate. But there was only one point that I had a struggle with that I didn't agree with. And it's when they actually showed the face of Jesus on the cross. And they showed him still with the beard. They showed him still with it. But if you look at the scriptures, the Bible says you could hardly recognize that he was a human being. Okay? They literally ripped his beard off of his face. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to be gross, but there's been times I've had a hair in my nose, and I'm not like Kathy that will take a tweezer and pop it out, okay? I just take it and rip it out, and it hurts for a sec. Can you imagine your beard being ripped right off of your face? All the hair mercilessly, just not surgically, mercilessly just ripping it right off? And you know what? Why did he shed his blood for that? Every reason, everything that Christ went through, it all has a reason for you and I, okay? And the reason that he did that was because your face is your identity. When I go to airports, as Eric and many of the others that travel out there, you know, they have eye scans and all and all, and they look into your face, and you can picture someplace you don't even have to show your passport anymore because it's just all there in the system, and they know exactly who you are. So when Jesus had that happen to him, how many know he got your identity back, and you're no longer in, I'm no longer in Sal and Ann Shimatero, but I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we're going to break that down in a little while, amen? So he got your real identity. And we live in a society today that's characterized by identity theft. So many people are struggling with identity theft today, and it's the same thing. So many Christians are struggling with the identity issue today. Listen, you already have eternal life. Okay? You already got eternal life. Come on. You already got the forgiveness of sins. You're not trying to get it. You got it. Come on. You got eternal life. Whatsoever is born of God, he has eternal life dwelling on the inside. What is eternal life? I'm going to cover that tonight. Eternal life is the very nature of God. It's the very offspring. You're the very offspring of God today. Amen. And everything that Adam lost in the garden, God got everything back restored for you and I today. Yeah. And so we're going to cover the whole thing about the new creation. And I'm going to give you a revelation that I found out there about the word behold when we get over there. So that's number six over there. And then you look, there's one other area. And it says when Jesus had given up the ghost, right afterwards they came. And the other, the prisoners on both sides, the convicts on both sides, the Romans came and they broke the legs of them. That was customary for everyone that died a death of crucifixion. But interesting, the only one that didn't have his legs broken was Jesus. Now, maybe that doesn't mean a lot to you. We can read through that story or hear about it and, you know, at different times of the year. But the reality of it, if they broke his legs, it could have disqualified him from being the Passover lamb because he had to be without spot, without blemish, and no defaults of any kind. And so when he went to the cross, he was the spotless Lamb of God. When Pilate washed his hands and said, I find no fault in him. It was like the high priest over there looking at him and said, hey, he's not guilty. There's no fault in this here, man. That was the Lamb. Can you say amen? Yeah. John the Baptist said, hey, stop everything. Look at everything. Just wait just a minute. Pay attention to what I'm going to say. Discern the very moment. Behold. Yeah. That's what the word behold, we read it 600 some times in the scripture, and we don't even understand what the meaning of it is. It means stop everything. I want you to see something. There's something important. There's something I want to bring by revelation to your life. Amen. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So many read that scripture and just read it by. It's just so quickly, we don't even ponder on the real meaning of it. So we see over there the guards came and they took the spear, and they hit Jesus right in the side. And out of his side came two things, blood and water. Are y'all with me? You can read this in John 19. Every mother that's here knows that there's a birthing that goes on. And when that baby's ready to come and there's a birth about to happen, how many know blood and water both come out? It's not just one, it's both of them. They come out together. And so we see the birthing, listen very, the birthing actually took place on John 20. But listen, there's something else. I'm going to come right back to this point. I'm going to come back. Because there's seven times I just said that Jesus shed his blood. How many say seven? That's it, right? But how many know there was one other place in the Bible, and it says he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon, and by his stripes we are healed. What is it? The bruising is not an outward shedding of blood, but the bruising was very specific because the Son of God, when he died on the cross, he was bruised. Why? Because of all the inward wounds that you would have, all the inward wounds that I would have. Come on now. The rejection that we've had, the betrayals that we had, the difficulties that we have, the disappointments that we had, the wrong choices that others made that affected our life, but also the choices we made that affected other people's lives. And so the bruising was made for that purpose and that reason. Are you with me? And so when you put that all together, that's the number eight. Well, eight is the number, come on, of new beginnings. It's not fixing an old beginning. It's a new beginning. The Bible says on the eighth day, I saw the new heavens and the new earth coming down. It's going to be new. It's not something repaired. It's not something old. Can you say amen? So now I'm ready to start the message. So Pentecost was the birthing, come on, of the church. We all believe that here. I don't only believe it. I believe that was it. So what was this here one over here, and when he died over there, the birthing came forth out there. Well, see, we got to understand something. When God says that Jesus, when he came, and you can read this later in 1 John chapter 5, I'm just going to quote it and simplify it tonight. It says Jesus came of blood and water. Come on. So that speaks about the humanity aspect. But how many know there's another part of him when he got up there, he was anointed of the Holy Spirit in power, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed. How many know the miracles took place with the anointing, the birthing of that thing? So when you look at this here scripture, now just hang on, and then it says there are three that bear witness in heaven. God the Father, come on. God the Word is number two. And then it said the Spirit. Those are the three that are in the Spirit in heaven. But then he goes on and says one more thing. He says, and there are three, not two, three that bear witness, three that work for you and I, three that come here in the earth. And what are the three? There's the water, come on, which always speaks of cleansing, speaks of refreshing, okay? And then there's the blood. Thank God for the blood we talked about tonight, right? But then the third one was the Spirit. So when God spoke of Pentecost, how many know the church couldn't be released into the birth until the place when a new DNA actually came in on the inside? A brand new, when I say DNA, a genetic code now that is different than the first Adam. A genetic code that came now into our life. With the very, and people get upset when we say these terminology in our charismatic Pentecostal circle, but I'm not afraid to say anything at this age today to upset people, but the reality is, if we understand what took place in the new birth on the inside, the literal Shekinah glory of God is now in you. Amen. It's not coming down. It's already inside of you, my friends. The Kehill, the wealth, the breakthrough, all the ones in the Hebrew, the word over there, it's already deposited inside of you. Amen. You got to get this thing. Maybe that's over a few of your heads, so I'll break it down. What are you trying to say today? I'm going to come back in a moment to the new creation in 2 Corinthians 5 and break it all down. But I feel to just bring this out right now. The Bible says arise, come on, and shine. When does he say to arise? When does he say to shine? When does he say that? Isaiah 60. Has anybody ever wondered what happened in Isaiah 59? How many want to know? Thank you, Pastor Randy. Okay. Isaiah 59 says, the earth was so corrupt, the courts were corrupt, the government was corrupt, the priesthood was corrupt, there was no more justice in the land, there was no more fairness in the courts, everything was all corrupt, everything was evil, everything was bad, people were ripping off one another, and it was still going, it was going on in the synagogues also, come on. And so you look at the society, and you'll see they hatched snakes, they hatched vipers, and they hatched spiders. What does that mean? They literally were giving birth to snakes. That's demonic. They were giving birth to spiders. I hate spiders. Come on now. I hate scorpions, all that kind. I don't like that. But they were literally giving birth to these here things. And then right in the middle of that, God says to the church, because it's prophetic over there, he says, arise and shine, for your light is come. Hang on. And the glory of the Lord, what does it say, is risen upon you. It's risen. If it's going to rise, my friend, it's got to be inside of you. That was a prophetic picture into the new covenant church today. Listen, the glory, the Bible says the glory is in you. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it tells us that we have. We're not trying to get it. We already have it inside of us, the glory of God. What do you mean? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The context, Pastor Nicole, Pastor, before is the glory of God. The context after is the glory of God. And so he says, now we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In other words, you are the very habitation today of the Shekinah glory, the Kahil glory. That's what you carry everywhere you go now. I never sing, I never connect with the song that says, God, let your glory fill this house. The glory's already in the house. We're already filled with the glory of God. I remember my secretary came to me one day and corrected me. She said, Pastor, she said, you told me you're going on this cruise. And I said, yeah. And you said that, you know, I asked you what you paid, and I told you what you paid, and then I said, I put another $140 for the insurance for Kathy and I. And she looked at me and she said, Pastor Rick, she says, me and Louie, we go on cruises all the time. And why are you paying for the insurance for the cruises? I said, because if something happened. She said, no. She says, you work at the same place I do, and our policy says over here on page number 8, and she told me, she says, that all of medical was all taken care of. All overseas travel was all taken, it was already paid. Okay, it was already there, but because I didn't know it, I couldn't participate in it. See, when I make statements, the glory's in you. What does it mean when God says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're the very habitation. It's where the presence of God came in and made his abode, was in the holiest of holies. Let me go a step further. You are the holiest of holies today in Christ. That's where God dwells. He's not coming down, hanging out for a weekend, and then blow out this pasta. No, he literally has made you his home today, his habitation today. And so my friend Mark Hazard, he's a POC pastor for many years. Now he's over the missions in the POC in the Caribbean and in Haiti and in Central America. And so I always like to stay close to him because then he invites me to come down there during the Caribbean during February. Amen? No, I'm just teasing you. No, but we've become very good friends of mine over all these years. But Mark's wife comes to him one day and says, Mark, I need you to go get an electric starter. I don't like going outside and starting the car, and I don't like bugging you to go out there to start the car. And so he says, okay, Val, I'll go to the Buick dealership and I'll get it. And so he goes into Gus Revenberg's, and when he goes into the dealership, he says, hey, and he knows the manager there by first name. He goes to church, and he says, I need an electric starter for my car. He said, really? He said, give me your key fob, Mark. And so Pastor Mark, he hands him the key fob. And he said, Mark, you see this button right over here? He says, yeah. He says, do you know what that is? He says, never really didn't know, but it's on the key fob. He said, that's an electric starter. Are you with me right now?
Yeah.
So he had it in his possession. He already owned it. It was already installed inside of him, but he couldn't benefit of it because he didn't know what he already had. Okay? And it's the same way with the church. We say, you know, we're new creations in Christ Jesus. But to many, the new creation today is I got to fix this, or I got to repair that, or I got to get better. God didn't try to get the bad one better. God made them brand new. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
And so the way we go about some things today, even in our Pentecostal charismatic churches, is we're trying to fix something that God said already died, is already buried through baptism. Come on. And if you haven't been baptized since you've given your life to God, then you need to see Pastor Nicole and shake yourself and just do it. Amen? Because why? When you get up there, you're identifying with his death. And then you go under the water, his burial, but then you come up to resurrection life. What has he called you to? Repent and believe. That's your part. That's what you need to do. But if you haven't been baptized, hey, shake yourself. If you're watching by live stream, shake yourself and just go do it. I remember a prophet came into my church years ago, and he was from Texas, and And the prophet said something. He says, he's walking back and forth, and he said, fill up the tank. And it's all pastors. I'm hosting a pastor's con. All pastors are there. He said, fill up the tank. God's going to start bringing them in. Fill up the tank. And I'm like, what's that all about? So I met with my team afterwards. I said, what was that? What was that word all about? And then I just discerned quickly that God said, fill up the tank. And I listened to the tape over and over and over. He said, fill up the tank, and God would bring them. And so, okay. So we started filling up the tank on Sunday mornings at the 11 o'clock service. And guess what? God started bringing people every week, getting saved, calling them in to repent, believe, and be baptized. Every service. And then a few months later, it just became, the word got out around town, and people were coming from all over to get baptized over at W. And then the Holy Ghost arrested me. And he says, I didn't tell you just at the 11 o'clock. I want you to baptize them at the 9 o'clock. I'm like, God, the 9 o'clock's the older crowd. They're more traditional. Come on now. They're a little bit more late. They don't bring as many of their new friends out, you know? But he said, I want you to do it. And so I taught the teams. We had to train more people up, teams in there for the change rooms and everything. And people then there to instruct the people that were coming in. And over probably 6 months, the 9 o'clock passed up the 11 for baptism. And I'm like, God, all he gave me was an instruction, fill it up. Come on. But you know what? There was probably 400 or 500 pastors in the house that day, and only one that I know about, maybe there is others that I haven't heard, but the only one that actually acted on the word was myself. Wow. Come on. Yeah. And then the Holy Ghost came and says, I want you to baptize every service. And I says, God, Wednesday night's discipleship, okay? We're training up, we're ready. He says, bring them out. And guess what? Wednesday night started coming out from all over, getting baptized out there. Now why am I saying that? Because just as all those other men heard it, and they heard what the prophet said, but nobody acted on it. And it's the same way. I remember my brother called me one day, Anthony. And he actually lives in Jerome, Michigan, not too far from here, actually, near Jackson. And he calls me up and he says, Richard, he says, Dad left some money in some depository box, and we're going to go to the bank, Grace and me, and we need you to come. And I said, what do you mean, a depository? He said, at the bank. He's got a big deposit. That's all I can tell you, because I called the bank and they told me it's a big one. And so I says, okay. And so what's in it? He says, I don't know. And so he asked Grace, he said, she didn't know, but here's a depository box that was there, and a third of that was mine. Okay, so I goes over there, and from Canada, and goes over and meet them in the States, and we go into this here room, this lady's very nice cases, and there's a little table there, and she said, now here's the key, and that's going to match this key here that you have, and go ahead in there and pull out the box, and this big thing out there. And all I could tell you, there was a lot of precious stones and valuables in there. Okay? And they were mine, a third of them, and I didn't even know they were there. I use those stories because it's the same way with the new creation. There's so much that's already deposited in us that we don't even know what God did at Pentecost is beyond anything we have any idea. Okay? Let me I probably will break this down maybe tomorrow night a little bit more, but because I'm in this area right now, how many know when 1 Peter tells us that we are a royal priesthood? Come on. Come on, we're a royal priesthood. Okay, you know who he said that to? The marginalized people of that day. He said that to former slaves. And some of them were actually practicing slaves of that day. Their masters would bring them. He said that to the women who were outcast during that time in the culture, in the society. The baptism of the Spirit puts us all on the same playing field, amen? Yeah. His sons and daughters are going to pour it out. So we have no issue with that whatsoever. But it was to the marginalized individuals. And this is what he actually says over there. It says that people, the ones that are special, the ones that are called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we would show forth the praises, come on, of him that called us out of darkness into his, is that what it says? Yeah. Okay, so when you read the word praises in there, We actually think in our 21st century vernacular that the word praises speaks about worship. It speaks about adoration. It has some element of there of freedom and all the release out there. But the word praises has nothing to do with a worship service. The word praises, and you can look it up in the Strong's Concordance. You just, I got one of them dictionaries that on my computer, you just touch it and the thing comes up. It literally speaks of the attributes of God. It said that you and I should show forth the praises, the glorious attributes of God. What does that literally mean? His compassion is already in you. His forgiveness is already in you. His mercy is already in you. His justice is already in you. His holiness is already in you. His righteousness is already in you. It's already there today. And he wants us to show forth the praises, the attributes of God to the world that we live in today. I'll try to get more time with that maybe tomorrow night and go into them because I haven't got to my text yet. We're getting there. This is the introduction. Is that okay? And so listen, so when I looked at this here, I was a reject. I was a kid that nobody wanted. I was a kid that got into trouble. I was a kid, when mama had me, she didn't want me. What do you mean by that? She went in and was a manic depression. An aunt told me this here from a young age when she got pregnant with me. She didn't want any more children. She had my sister Grace first and my brother Anthony after. She didn't want any more kids. And they said for the first 6 months of the pregnancy, all she did was cry. She was so depressed. Well, how many know in the womb when that goes on, how many know the gestation time with the connection time with them? They say Italians are very close to their mama. Okay. I said, what world are you guys from? I don't know what you're talking about. I was never close. And then my whole life, all I was told was, why can't you be like your brother Anthony? Why can't you be like Anthony? Why can't you get grades like Anthony? Why can't you act like Anthony? I wished I could have said something today that I know today back then. Because, Mom, you named me Richard. And Richard means a powerful ruler, one that can take charge, one that can use his authority. And that's who you named me, Mom. You gave me a prophetic name, and you didn't even know it. Come on. So my whole life, I was raised with rejection. And then I go to the Bible, and I look at, I'm reading one day. It says, he hath accepted me in the Beloved. And in our vernacular, that's great. We all know that he's loved us and accepted us. But that's not what the word means over in Ephesians 1:6. I looked up the word in Ephesians 1:6, and it was only spoken one other time. And I looked up the other time it was spoken, and it was in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, where the angel Gabriel came to Mary, the mother of Jesus and his humanity. And the angel Gabriel unpacks this here and said, Mary, you are highly favored amongst women. And the Bible says, and you can read it, it said she had no issue with an angelic visitation, but she had trouble with the saying of the angel. This is in your Bible. You can check it out. She struggled with what the angel said. She said, Mary, you are highly favored amongst women. Why? Because the system that she was raised in, she felt inferior. In the system she was raised in, she never felt she was good enough. In the system that she was raised in was very legalistic at that time. But God said to Mary from the angel that literally stands in the presence of God, Mary, you're highly favored amongst women. And guess what? The same thing he said about Mary is the same thing he says about you, my friend, and you, my friend, and you, my friend. It's the same thing. We're highly favored of God. Check it out. Sometimes I don't feel highly favored. But it doesn't matter what I feel, we're highly favored of God. Are you learning anything now?
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to start my message now. So when I looked at these here things, so that broke that whole spirit of rejection off of my life when that happened. Just so you know, my mama became a hero of mine. In our latter years, she made things right and everything worked out well with us. And remember, she was 82 years old, and I heard that she was not doing well, and they wanted us to come and see her because she was in hospice. And she goes into the hospice and across the river here in Detroit. I was pastoring in Windsor, And so I said, Kat, we're going to go after the service and services today and go over there. So we did. And I go into the room, and in probably 2-3 weeks, she lost probably 25, 30 pounds. She was frail, skin and bones, dying right there. I go in and say hi, and she's lethargic. She's totally out of it. And I just had to walk out. I couldn't handle it. I'm just being very honest. Emotionally, it was just overwhelming to see my mother there because she was very feisty, very strong. And I see her, and she's dying, and it's like, I don't know what to do. So Kathy stayed in there and just was talking with her, holding her hand and doing the things, whatever she was doing. And then she comes out, and she says, Rick, your mother needs you right now. And I says, Kath, I have a hard time. She says, not about you right now. You need to be in there for your mother. Go spend some time with your mother. Okay? And I said, okay. So reluctantly, I go in there and I go by the bed and I turn over there and I give her a kiss. And I said, Mama, I love you, you know. And she sits up. She sits up and she says, I just want you to, Kathy's a witness, I just want you to know, Richard, I'm not dying in this place. I'm getting out of this here place. And I'm like, what the heck just happened? And so she's speaking this out of her. She's speaking this. Now, she's a Christian. She's a believer now. And she's speaking this out. I won't get into all the things. And she said, what they're giving me is all these meds, and they're killing me. I'm not telling you to get off your medication, okay? So be careful with that, okay? But she got off her own, and Kathy's a witness of this. And 2 weeks, she walked out of the hospital. And she lived another 7 years to 89. And guess what? She gets dementia. So she can't remember anybody. I goes to visit her, and she says to Kathy, she says, Kathy, who's that? Jim Vitale. Jim Vitale sold watermelons on the Eastern Market in Detroit. And I'm laughing my head, okay? And here's the key. The reason I'm saying this here, too, is Kathy loved her, put all her feelings aside, and she loved her, and she knew that and experienced that. She never remembered my sister, didn't remember my brother, and didn't remember me, but remembered Kathy to the day she died. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's another whole story there. Okay. So one day, I'm 4 years old, 5 years old, and I had a problem peeing the bed. Okay. And I'm not proud of it, but I was, they call them a bedwetter. Okay? And so they didn't have the treatments that they have today. So I don't want you to get upset here, but anyway, so she talks to the garbage men on the day that they come out and says, listen, I'm going to bring my son out here next week, and you tell him if he doesn't stop peeing the bed, he's going to get thrown in the truck.
Wow.
Honest to God truth. And so, anyway, here's Rick. Come walking. Mom says, I want you to meet the garbage guys. I said, okay. So I come out there, and there's two big guys, and they look at me. Hey, kid, if you don't stop peeing the bed, we're throwing you in there. You understand?
Oh, my God.
I froze.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I froze. I said, snot. Okay. Okay, so I walk back. You can laugh today, okay? You want to know why I look so young? Because it stunted my growth. I stopped growing. I was so afraid to go to sleep that I peed the bed, that I'd end up in the... I'm not lying. I'm just telling you. And somehow it stopped. Okay? Some days with prostate, I wish I... That's another... Okay, 70 years later. Okay. So anyway, that was the situation that was there, and that was all the stuff in my childhood that I had to live with, and then God broke the lie off of my life, and now it doesn't matter what people think or say or anything else, because I really, it doesn't matter anymore. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Jesus delivered me and set me free. So now I got to start. Are we ready to start? And we're going to go. I want you to go in your Bible. I want you to see something today. And I'm reading out of the New King James, if that's okay. I'd like to go here. And I want to park here for just the next half hour or so, however far we get. And then we want to talk about the Holy Spirit and a few other things. And let me just say something here too, is how many know the blood of Jesus is still living today? How many know the blood of Jesus, it's impossible for it to decay? It's impossible for it to become obsolete. Okay, it's impossible, listen very carefully, for the blood to lose its effectiveness, to lose its power. It's impossible. The blood today is just as powerful as it was at the cross 2,000 years ago. The authority in the name is just as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. But I'm going to tell you the reason why we don't believe it as much and act on it as much. So we're going to go over now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is everybody there? Okay, and while you're going there, how many know Only Believe Church is not about improvement? How many know Only Believe Church is about transformation? Okay, how many know God didn't send Jesus merely to make us better people? How many know He made us a total new creation? Okay, we're not merely a repaired version of the old self. We're not a spiritual renovation. I'll say it again, we're a new creation. The moment God breathed His life into you, heaven declared this person no longer is defined by what they were. My friends, your addictions don't define you. My friends, your disappointments don't define you. My friends, your past don't define you. My friends, your failures don't define you. My friends, your reactions don't define you. But the blood of the cross of the Son of God is what defines you. And you are now His because you put your faith, you repented, and you believe. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now look at this here for just one moment here. I'll pick all this other stuff up tomorrow, okay? But I want you to go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, all right? Everybody say, come on, therefore if anyone... Come on, is in Christ, He is a new creation. What else? All things have passed away. Hang on. Then He uses that word, behold. Pastor Ann, behold. Behold. All things have become new. What does He want you to behold? The all things. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. All things have become new. Now all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Now here's what I want you to learn. The word new means this here, recently made. It means fresh. I was in the produce business as a young boy growing up and was in it till I was actually about 29 years of age, and then I just was released and started the church over in Windsor. But all those years, we always had fresh produce. We didn't have a lot, but we always had fresh produce. I don't like those spongy little oranges and stuff like that that are on the shelves on the side, or the wilted salad stuff that you eat, the lettuce. I don't like, but this is fresh, okay? And it's also here unused and unworn. The word says over there of new, it means of respect, substance of a new kind. The dictionary actually in the Greek says it's unprecedented. I want you to look at somebody, everybody, and just say, you're unprecedented. You're unprecedented. What is that word unprecedented? I'm so glad that you asked, because I didn't know. It means without previous instance, never before known or experienced, unexampled or unparalleled. Unparalleled means unequally unmatched. And then one other translation says this here. The new means it's novel. I looked up novel and it says of a new and unusual kind, different from anything seen or known, uncommon, rare, exceptional, remarkable, unheard of. Now that's what it means when it says you are a new creation. As a matter of fact, in the Greek language, the word agape was not even there. It was a word that's only a little over 2,000 years old now, and it's actually the word that we know as the love of God. It's the agape love. The word storge was in there, and the word eros was in there, okay? And the word phileo love was in there. All those three were all in the Greek culture, saturated, but the word agape is a new love. This is so new, everything is here. And God says, if any man be in Christ, come on, he's a new creation. Is that right? Now, here's where I want to get started here now. So then he uses the word right after that there, behold, all things have become new. So what is it that he wants you to behold? What is it that he wants you to ponder on? What is it that he wants you to meditate on? What is it that he wants you to think on? What is it that he wants you to put your focus on? What is it that he wants you not just to be a fleeting moment or a quick sermon or a word that you hear? The word behold literally is 664 references. And this is what it means. Stop everything. In other words, everything in your journey and your Christian walk, stop it right now. And this is what I want you to get a hold of. Stop everything. Something significant, something important, something of consequence, having or expressing real meaning. I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to discern it clearly. I want you to experience it. I want you to perceive it. I want you to see it with your eyes. I want you to become so acquainted with this here, okay, that you have personal knowledge as a result of study and experience. And everybody said amen. Amen. Okay, so here's what it says. Behold, stop everything. All things have become new. Now listen carefully. There's not a part of you in the new creation that's yet to come. A part that's already imparted to you through the cross. Okay, I'll say it again. There's not a part of the new creation that's coming down. There's not. It's already inside of us. That's why when I hear things like, I'm God's depository box. I'm God's treasure chest. A place where valuables are. That's what the word in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 means. Now, this is it. In Christ, we are a new creation. I told you what the word new means. We have a new heart. Come on. A new nature, a new DNA, a particular, listen very carefully, combination of qualities belonging to a person. In other words, the same qualities that Jesus exemplified when he was here on the earth are the same qualities that you have today. You know, I got a son, his name is Brian, okay? And he passes the church. And Brian, if you actually look at him, he looks just like his father, okay? He looks just like me. He preaches like I preach. He walks like I walk. He talks like I talk. Okay? So the characteristics of his dad, he actually has them all. Come on. He's just like me. He looks like a clone to me, all right? He's not a clone, he's his own self. But I'm just saying that there. Well, this is what you need to understand. The new creation has the same characteristics, the same attributes. Come on now. That God has the same ones. So listen, you're not trying to get compassion inside. My friends, in your DNA, you have the compassion of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, am I calling myself God? But let me just state something. How many know the Bible says that we're joint heirs with Jesus? And the word joint literally means equal heirs with Jesus. And in case you get bent out of shape, the Bible tells me in 2 Peter chapter 1 that you and I are partakers, literally sharers of his divine nature living inside. It's quiet in here right now. We're going to go on a little bit further, okay? We are partakers, sharers of his divine nature in it. How do we activate that? Through the exceeding great and precious promises. Now listen to what it says that we have about this here. We have a new nature. Now we have a new love. We have a new passion, powerful, compelling emotion, a strong, extravagant fondness. We have enthusiasm. When I got born again, God took me out of darkness and brought me into the light, and something inside of me immediately changed. Some areas were just like, there was just like you turn the light switch on. I mean, there was certain categories of people that I was not very fond of. I'll just try to be nice. And those are the people that came to me within 24 hours and said, what happened to you, Shematero? Are you there? There was a change in the inside of me, and they began to see it. And then we have a new love again. Enthusiasm, it's actually two Greek words, en and theos, and the word en literally means full of, and theos is God. An enthusiastic person is somebody that's full of God. Can you say amen? All right, so let's go on. We have a new salvation. We have a new language in the Spirit. We have a new start in life. We have a new noble birth. We have a new hope, a confident expectation of good that's coming our way. A person or thing in which expectations are. We have a new home, the very habitation of God. We have a new dream, an aspiration, a goal, a new purpose, the reason for which something exists or is done. We have over here a new attitude, a new manner, a new disposition. We have, listen very carefully, we have a new perspective how we see things, a new unity. We have a new garment, a new tongue, a new commandment, a new wine, a new oil, a new covenant. Now God says, listen, all the things have been made new. I want you to behold that. I want you to experience that. I want it not to be just a teaching, not just a concept. I want you to get a hold of this there, that you are a new covenant today, that you have a new hope. You have a new tongue. You have a new oil inside of you. You have a new wine. I want you to get that. I want you to just focus on that. I want you to see it. It's not just a part of you. All things, not something. All things, not something. All things have become new. You're new, you're new, you're new, you're new. So why do we go to fix the old?
Come on, look out. Wow.
Why do we go and try to repair something? God doesn't say repair the old man. God doesn't say try to fix the old man. God says focus now on this new man. I want you to see how important this is. I want you to pay attention to it. I want you to stop everything in your life until you get a hold of this. Behold. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Then we're going to tie this in just a few more minutes, okay? We have a new anointing, a new song, a new garment, a new tongue, a new commandment, a new name, a promise, a new heaven, a new Jerusalem, because we've been made a new man with a new king and a new wineskin, a new covenant, the agreement between God and the ancient Israelites, as well as us today. We have new grace, a new order, a new message, a new power, a new authority over here. Come on, church. He gave us his apprentice power, his exousia power to cast out devils. He gave us everything. We have the right standing with God, made new, upright before God. So here's the key. If you so focus on what was new, you will no longer ever live in shame.
Amen.
You'll no longer ever live inferior. Let me just state something. If you feel, as a believer, inferior to me, then you don't understand your righteousness. You need to go behold the new man. Because listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me, but because of the cross, we're not the same as we used to be. We've been made new. Amen? Amen? This is my whole purpose of why I'm saying this here now. So the DNA from a group of 11 men changed the world. If you look at it, when you start this here off, if you actually look at this here, and then I know where I'm going to finish tonight. If you actually look at this here, then the DNA that's inside of you and I that came on Pentecost, one man gave Satan every road for 3.5 years, a dead end for 3.5. And in the baptism in the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, now there's 120 of them that he couldn't handle.
Yeah, that's right.
So let me tell you something. If Satan is a thief, he comes for three reasons: to steal, to kill, and destroy. What's the number one area that he tempted the Son of God in? What's the number one area? Number one, come on, turn these stones into bread. No. Fall down from heaven, the angels are given. No. The number one area that he challenged the Son of God in, he said, if you be the Son of God, tried to get him to question his very identity. And that's the number one area that he hits you and that he hits me in, is to begin to question our very identity. Come on. I'm no longer identified in Adam. I'm identified now in Christ. Now listen, now I got to start the message because it's about Pentecost. All right, I'm going to close and this is going to be it. I found out that Jesus said on the last day of the feast, he said something very interesting. The tabernacle, it lasted literally a week. and was a celebration of deliverance from Egypt into the promised land to the other side. And it said, he that believes on me, as the scripture had said, out of his heart will flow rivers. Everybody look at somebody and say, rivers. Rivers. Of living water. Okay? Now, this is what you need to understand in the new creation. This is why I'm talking. On Pentecost, the DNA changed and something significant happened. That's why I'm focusing in on 2 Corinthians 5. But something significant happened. He didn't say, out of your belly, a river of living water would flow. He said, out of your belly, rivers of living water. Did you catch that? Two people got it. What else? I'll say it again. Out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. Come on. So if we believe, and I know Pastor Nicole, I know the DNA of the house, the miracles, and I believe everything, okay, that only believe has. If you look at your tenets of faith and mine, they're exactly the same, okay? But the DNA of the house, listen very carefully. This is so important. The DNA of the house is the baptism in the Spirit is real and it's in everyday life. That's the DNA. The baptism of the Spirit puts us into the gifts, puts us into the empowering of the grace of God sent that we can live the victorious, overcoming life. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. We'll cover all that tomorrow night. But this is where I want you to go, is in your DNA, there's something now called overflow. What do you mean? When Jesus said, and let me just quote this here from the book of Numbers 13, okay? When the spies came in, they said there's a land that flows with milk and honey. You can look up the word flow, and it literally is translated overflows with milk and honey. Translators put flow, and that's fine, but it literally is the word overflow. In your DNA is an overflow anointing. When the prophet, when the apostle Paul says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. The word filled literally means you're stuffed to the gills, to the place now where it just overflows in your life. What is it that he wants you to be filled with the knowledge of his will? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The Bible says God wants you to be filled, overflow with the will of God. Come on. Most believers in this room, most believers outside the room watching by live stream are not even operating in the revealed will of God. And because they're not operating in the revealed will of God, they get frustrated in their life. They get frustrated in their journey. They get frustrated with people. The church this, the church that, the church too slow. They do this, they do that. Or my husband this, my wife this, the children this. We get frustrated with it. And the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will. So thanksgiving keeps you anchored in the center of the will of God. Thanksgiving releases the overflow of God upon your life. It's in you now, but it releases now the overflow to those around. Boy, I wish I had an hour on that one to go tonight, okay? Are you getting anything? So Jesus, Pastor Nicole, do you believe that Jesus restored everything back that Adam lost? Everything. Do you believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ?
Completely.
Okay, so the way it was set up in the garden was the way it is today then. Am I correct?
We are restored.
So what happened in the garden? In Genesis chapter 2, there was four rivers that were flowing. And they all came together and they all came up. But the rivers were all there. There was the Pishon. There was the Gishon. Come on. There's the Hiddekel. And there was Euphrates, and they were all there, and they're all there. And so if he restored us back, and Jesus prophesied on the last day of the feast, and he says, you know, this is what's going to happen. Out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. Guess what happened? On the day of Pentecost, the rivers flowed out of their bellies out there. It flew out to every nation. Come on now. So not only did we have the blood, now we have the water, but what else do we have? We have the fire of God, which is the acceptance of the presence of God, because they became the very habitation of God. And God put the fire in their tongue. Why? To say, this is my property. This is my tabernacle. This is my house. This is my dwelling place. So what do these words mean? Because if we understand what these words mean, it shows us the very identity of what we have so we can dispossess the lies of darkness. The Pishon means we've been made to increase, become greater in number, in size, strength, or quality. God said to Abe, he said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I plead the blood of Jesus over every soul in this house right now. I plead the blood of Jesus over any midget mentality. I plead the blood of Jesus over any inferiority. I plead the blood of Jesus over any shortage, any lack, anything missing. I plead the blood of Jesus over it. And I decree increase over the house. Increase in love one for another. Increase in the compassion of God. Increase in finances. Increase in attendance. I decree increase in every front. Now I release by the grace of God, angelic visitor, go to the north, go to the south, go to the east, and compel men, compel women to come to the house of the Lord. Compel them by the grace of God. Father, lift the blinders, lift the scales, visit them in their nightstand. The backsliders, those that disconnected, that were never disconnected by God, but chose to go and are out there in left field someplace. God, I thank you for a restoration today of the Pishon coming back today. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen?
Yeah.
Thanks for the amens.
Amen.
The next one is the Gion. And the Gion is bursting forth. It means to be extremely full, as if ready to break open. It means to issue forth suddenly and forcefully from confinement. You know, Eric was telling me he's going over to Africa again, and one of my favorite things after I'm all done ministering over there is when I go on safaris. I love safaris. And I'm one of the guys that likes to be in the center, up on the top, and just see everything that's going on as close up to the giraffes as you can when you're up on the top. And so anyway, remember when I heard the story about the lions, the elephants. And the elephant, when it's a baby, it gets a stake and they push it in the ground. Could be a wood stake or a pole, a metal pole, and they push it in the ground. They tie a rope around it, and then they tie it around the baby elephant's leg. And the baby elephant, you know, pulls against that thing all day. It just pulls and pulls and pulls and pulls and pulls, and it doesn't go anywhere. The next day comes out, same thing. It pulls, it pulls, it pulls, it pulls. And over a period of time, that elephant actually believes in his mind that this is my lot in life, this is the way it's going to be, and nothing is ever going to change. And so whenever the pull, now that elephant can grow, and it can rip that little metal pole right out of the ground. It can pull the wooden pole. It can just break it in like a toothpick, okay? But it won't, because in its mind, it's formed that this is the way I am. Limitations and everything else. Instead of bursting forth that thing had the ability to do, it doesn't, because it's in there. Now, this is where the pastor comes in. Pastor Nicole teaches you every week. I don't believe just in, you know, people, they watch it by live streaming, and I appreciate the one that do. We're not there to make you feel bad because you, but there's nothing like being in the corporate gatherings together. Come on. There's nothing like being with the saints. We've been made for that there. I believe that we come together, we're encouraged. Why? Because encouragement is the oxygen in the soul, and we encourage one another when we come in. But, you know, 613 times the word Egypt is used in Scripture. And 413 of the 613 reference, that's two-thirds, of all the references that word is used. In Egypt means confinement. 413, it's out of Egypt, out of Egypt, out of Egypt, out of Egypt. Listen carefully. God already took the restraints off. God already took us out of Egypt. But how many know God said all things have passed away and all things, how many know that's on the inside? But how many know we still have our mind that's here? And our mind needs to change, amen? And the mind has the ability to change as the new creation pulls it on. I always like to say it this way. Your spirit man is here, and this is an anchor to your soul. If you go this way with your flesh, then you're going to be fleshly. If you go this way to your soul, then you're going to be spiritually. Come on. And so we always pull from the inward man and then work on pulling and renewing the mind over there. So this is what it says over here about this here thing that went on over there, the second river that we all need to know about over here. So we have the Pishon, okay, and then we have the Gishon, and everybody said amen.
Amen.
Okay? So everybody stand up for a moment, and I want to give you this next one while you're standing. Father, right now, I decree that everyone in here today is going to burst out into overflow in their prayer life. I decree over everyone today with the blood of Jesus that there's a bursting forth, a birth that's going to come out of them. Because when Zion travailed, she gave birth. I speak forth the travail of the person of the Holy Spirit moving and ministering in and through every one of the saints that is in here today. I decree that they're going to burst forth on every front. They're going to break wide open, and it's going to come suddenly out of the place of confinement. They're coming into the place of refinement of their minds. I thank you today that it's breakthrough time for Only Believe Church. I thank you today and decree the blood of Jesus over every clog, every blockage, every hindrance, every delay, every excuse. I command the blood of Jesus to scatter those lies, to scatter those assignments. I loose the scales of excuses from Luke 14 that people would make. I break them down by the power of the blood of Jesus today. And I plead the blood over every family here. I plead the blood over their seed and those believing for the lost to come back home. We command the works of darkness scattered off them and the hand of heaven on them, morning, noon, and night, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
The next one is the Hiddekel, which means rapid moving or acting with great speed. It literally describes the word acceleration. Acceleration. To go faster, greater, to progress. I decree the blood of Jesus today that's blocking any acceleration. The blood over the governors that are on the accelerator there that put it to a certain speed and then stop it. That's not overflow. So we remove all those spiritual governors today that have blocked the speed pedals of our spiritual life. We speak the blood of Jesus to every hindrance in our spiritual life, to every wound in our spiritual life, to every damaged emotion in our spiritual life. And we command them to be healed. We command them to be restored in the name of Jesus. I want to just tell you the thing that hinders acceleration is unforgiveness. In my city, I had a man, a pastor. I was the leader of the Windsor Evangelical. We impacted the entire Essex County. In Essex County, we had over 180-some ministers. I think it was 185 that all came together. We'd have fellowship, and then we'd pray, and we'd intercede, not in just tongues, because there was Baptists that was there. There was Church of God, there was every kind of group that was all there. And I remember there was one guy in the city that wouldn't come to anything, and he was very influential in the city. And I went to him, and he went into a building program, and I sent a large check out to bless him. Whenever a born-again church would go into an expansion, our church would always send them an offering of some kind. So we sent him. And a week after the check went, I got it back in the mail with a letter. And this is what it said: give it to somebody that needs it. We won't take money from you. We won't take anything. And then he wrote some things I don't even need to repeat. Okay? I took that letter and I stuck it in the shredder. I stuck it in a file. A friend of mine from Nova Scotia comes in, his name's Ted. And he comes in, he said, how's it going, Rick, with the pastors there? I said, you know what, Ted, we're having breakthrough after breakthrough. God's doing incredible work. I prayed for a Baptist leader, and one-on-one, he got filled with the Holy. I mean, things are happening all over, Ted. It's exciting. But one guy, man, it's just not, doesn't connect at all. I said, it's just nothing. I sent him money, and he sends it back. And I went and I pulled the letter. I was going to read it to my friend when he wrote. And the Holy Ghost arrested me and said, put it in the shredder. Right where the file was, my shredder was right next to it. I said, Ted, I'm sorry for sharing what I said to you. He said, what's the matter? I said, you ain't got no business knowing about that and saying that, and I'm wrong to say it. And I just put it in the shredder and shredded it. I'll put my hand, this is my Bible. Within moments, that guy went to break bread in his chapel, in his church. And when he walked in to take communion, as his habit was, the face of Rick Cimitero came up. And he said, you need to call Rick and make it right. As soon as he saw my face, that's what he said. So he called. Immediately, he called. And it was just before 12 o'clock, and I was going to Applebee's for lunch with my friend Ted. And when my secretary told me this just as I was walking out, and she said, hey, I got a call from this pastor, and he wants to meet you over here, or you can go to his church. And I said, when did that happen? He said, just now. At the very moment, he was released. Now, let me just break that into you. That might not mean a lot to you, but it was very significant. And God used that to open up greater things in the community. I wish I had time to talk about, okay? But here's the thing. The Bible says, whose sins you remit, they are remitted. Yeah, that's right. That is in the new covenant. Come on now, church. I didn't write it. How many know that? How many, Pastor Nicole, is that in the Bible? But whose sins you retain, they are retained. In other words, you and I can loosen the kingdom, and you and I can tie people up in the kingdom. That man couldn't get free until I released that from my life. And I believe tonight, as I'm saying this here, this wasn't part of the closing that I had, but I believe that tonight, if you're here and you got stuff you're holding onto against anyone, it's time to put it in the shredder tonight. It's time to loose it off your life. It's time to let it go. You're not looking at all things that become new. You're looking at what could have been, what would have been, what should have been. You're looking at what they did or what they said or how much pain they caused you or this and that. And God's saying tonight, only believe, it's time to put it in the shredder and let it go. Dissolve it. Can you all say amen? Father, I thank you tonight for the word. I thank you for the last one, Euphrates, which speaks about fruitfulness. And I decree this is going to be one of the most fruitful seasons of Only Believe Church. I believe that when the fall comes along, the summer's going to be good, but I believe that in the fall, it's going to begin to break out into another dimension. We get in agreement on that now. We bless, we forgive, we reach out, and together we're going to be just like Private Doss in the movie that we actually saw there, Hacksaw Ridge. And he saved 75 men in one evening. And his cry after he saved one, he said, Lord, give me one more. Give me one more. And after he got the strength, he went and got another one down safety. And then he went back and got another and went back and got another. And all night long, he got him down, wrapped him up and put him down to the place of safety. Father, I'm asking that the same passion that was on Private Doss in Hacksaw Ridge would be released on every member of Only Believe Church. I pray, Father God, for such a soul-winning anointing on every one of the people here today, because we recognize that we are a new creation. We recognize that we have the new treasure. We recognize that we have the new covenant, and everything we have need of is in Christ. How can we be quiet about it any longer? So give us now the grace, Father, to go reach out to the homeless, to reach out to the broken, to reach out to the backslider, to reach out to those disconnected from this day forward in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed, said amen. Finally, I put the blood over every marriage, over every teenager, over son, every daughter. I put them over the leadership. I put the blood of Jesus over every seat, over the parking lot, over the church. I put the blood of Jesus over your homes, over the windows, over the doorposts. I thank you, Lord, for the protection in the blood, over their cars, over their vehicles. I plead the blood of Jesus over their minds, over their thoughts, over their emotions, over their bodies. I command the blood of Jesus today, and that life-giving blood is going to flow through every disobedient cell in their body. I release the life of the blood of the Son of God into them now. White cells come in line. Red cells come in line with the blood covenant of the Son of God today. I decree the blood lives. I decree the blood speaks. I decree the blood cleanses. If anybody's condemned, anybody's feeling inferior, anybody just feels they just can't measure up, I command the blood to break every scale and every lie off your life from this moment forward in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed, said, come on. Amen and amen. Amen. As we go tonight, I want to just say that as a man, Kathy and I, we have a ministry that's touching the world. We have a ministry today that has been amazing what God has done. We just spent almost 32 days, I think it was, over in Europe, in some of the areas. And I can tell you this here, we see the sparks of revival starting to happen. Restoration starting to come forth in Europe. God is doing some amazing things. And Kathy and I are planning on going again to India over in January. And we don't have a church that's behind us any longer. We turn everything over to the next gen and they're running with it. But Kathy and I just live by faith on our own. And I can tell you this here, God has provided, God has taken good care of us to the place where Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly, is not just a concept to us, it's a lifestyle for us. And everybody said amen. Amen. So if you would like to sow into our ministry, it's called Rick for Can. I would imagine we make all the shout, everything out to Only Believe Church. Yeah. Pardon? Yeah. Rick for U.S. Okay. Sorry, Rick for USA Ministries. And if you do, you're sowing into good ground, fertile ground. Kathy and I are enjoying this season in life, in ministry, in our nation, in America, and around the world. And we're just excited. I'm going to be going to Malaysia in just another month or so, month and a half. Then after that, I'm going over to Rio. And then prior to that, I'm doing a Spanish network of churches from all over Central America. And then even the ones from Mexico are all coming together. We're meeting in downtown area, Toronto Evangel Temple. And we're just having wonderful, wonderful times training pastors, training next generation. So that's where your seed's going. It's sowing into our ministry there. Kathy is the president and founder of the Women's Life Center, where we put a lot of our money into. All of our books that you can get online, I couldn't bring them in only because there's some problems, in case you haven't recognized that, with Canada and the U.S. aren't on the greatest terms right now. And so bringing materials across the border, even though it's religious materials, it's a big hassle. But you can pick them up on Amazon, or you can even go to the Windsor Life Center. It's a 20-bed treatment center, and it's at capacity, Kathy said, right now, with drug addicts and alcoholics. All of the proceeds of our books and materials, everything has gone to there since we started the home. And God has blessed us immensely. And we're seeing now women that have struggled with addiction for decades getting totally delivered, totally set free because of what we're teaching here about their identity, what we're teaching about Pentecost, what we're teaching on the new creation. Amen? Amen? So if you'd like to give, that's where you go. All the stuff's up there on the board. It'd be appreciative. And we want to just say thank you in advance. My wife's going to come up as we close and just share a miracle story that we just had from my granddaughter, Olivia. Kathy? This is the power of the blood we're talking about, and it's a miracle story. So come and give. Buckets are there. Feel free. Go ahead, dear.
Well, this just happened last Friday night. We have lots of grandkids. We have 16 of them. But one of our grandkids, she's 19 years old. She's a strong believer. She just got back from a mission trip in Dominican Republic with her church. And anyway, she was at a Bible study last Friday night, and she was dropping a girl off down in Windsor, and then she was driving home. They went out after. Actually, they went to a park after, and they were worshiping in the park. And so she's driving home, and she was about 10 minutes from home, and she was going through a yellow light, and another car went through a red light and hit her really hard. She was going around, I want to say kilometers, you guys use miles. Anyway, she was hit, and the car spun around and hit a pole, and the airbag went off, and she noticed a flame in the car right after it hit. And she was not knocked out, and she right away, her instinct was the car was on fire, or a fire had started in the car. Now, the roof of the other, or the hood of the other car was on her roof. I mean, the impact was quite severe. Anyway, long story short, she knew right away to get out of the car. She was just praying she could get out, because you never know if you can open the door after an impact like that. Anyway, she got the seatbelt off and got out of the car, and she wasn't even out of the car a minute, and the car blew up. And her father had phoned her just before this all happened, like about an hour before, wanting to know what time you're going to be home. But he felt very unsettled, like something was wrong. And so he, you know, he just was praying for her that night, and till he felt peace, and then he went to bed. And the accident happened just shortly after that. But anyway, she was not wounded at all. She had a quarter inch scratch on her forehead. That was it. And even several days later, she had no pain. She wasn't sore, nothing. They couldn't believe it. But the funny thing was, the paramedics, when they came, they made her go to the hospital to check her over. But they said to her, "Were you clubbing?" You know, because the young kids go clubbing. And she said, "No, I was in the park worshiping God." Anyway, it was really funny. But it was a miracle, because the seat was right back. Her dad had driven the car previous to her, and she's tall, but her dad's obviously taller. And so she wanted to move the seat forward, but it jammed, and she couldn't get it to move up. And this was, you know, when she was driving. So thank God, because that could have made a totally different outcome. But anyway, it was just a God's protection and over her. And she has no trauma, no fear of driving. She wasn't sore. Nothing happened. The car is completely burned up. She left her purse and her phone in the car, so she lost that. But other than that, she's fine. So all is good. Amen.
And she has a call of God on her life.
Oh, yeah. She was in another act. She went out west
6 months ago.
6 months ago. She was out in Alberta to visit her sister. And her sister's husband was picking her up in Edmonton and driving out to where they live. And they hit a moose. A big moose. And it totaled the car, and they came out fine. So she was almost killed 6 months ago, too. So anyway, she's got a call on her life, obviously.
At the end of the month, she's going to Alberta, Drayton Valley, Alberta. If you know where Edmonton is, it's about an hour and 15 minutes. And she's starting full-time pastor work in the children's area. Can you say amen? Now, as we close, remember that this isn't just something we want to talk about in church. It's something I want you to start doing every day with the blood. For 52 years, I've pled the blood. Pastor Randy said something. She's got a call on her life, sometimes she does. I was almost killed twice in accidents. One time in Detroit, Michigan, in a snowstorm, somebody spun out and just came, wrapped my car, almost got crushed. The second time I was hit, the clocked the car from the tire tracks, 110 kilometers an hour, smashed into the back end of the car. And I don't know how the wheel turned, but the traffic was stopped ahead of me, so I just slowed down and stopped. The car behind me didn't slow down at all. Saw the sun and blinded, and the wheel turned out from the road that I was in, and it turned out, and I never got crushed between the other car. I went almost 100 yards down the ditch all the way down and came out. Every window was all shattered. Everything was all out. They took me to the emergency, a little bit of glass in my head, a little bit in my hand, but no damage whatsoever. So listen carefully. Today, from that form, I never leave without putting the blood. I put the blood over my marriage every day. I put the blood over our ministry. I put the blood over my children and grandchildren. We put the blood of Jesus out there because it's living. Amen. If that's one thing you got out of the whole message tonight, plead the blood. Amen. I love y'all. Let's give Pastor Nicole a warm welcome as she comes and closes tonight. God bless her. Eric. Okay.
Thank you so much, Pastor Rick. And wow, and you know, the Bible says that God puts his angels in charge over you. So it's important to be a Christian. So I encourage you. I know we're talking to most of Christians inside our building tonight and probably watching online as well. But hey, well, I just want to say thank you for giving tonight. You know, the Bible says when you give it to the prophet, you get a prophet's reward. So, and I really believe, I have the utmost respect. I know Pastors Randy and Nicole do as well, for Pastor Rick and Pastor Kathy. They're such gifts to the body of Christ, and we're so thankful they're here in Bakken, Ohio tonight. And he will be back tomorrow night, and I know he's got some things that he wants to share and release tomorrow as well. So you're not going to want to miss tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Also, don't forget, we got VBS continuing one more night. I think tonight they've been outside since it's nice and warm. I think their water balloons are flying back and forth, and people are getting a little wet, but they're having a great time. They're learning about God. They're having, you know, just a fun time. So I encourage you, if you know some youth or some children that would love to be part of VBS, please invite them. We still got one more night. We'd love to see them here, encourage them, bless them as well. But we just want to say thank you for being here tonight. Let me pray as we dismiss you tonight. Again, tomorrow night we start at 7 p.m. Father, I just thank you, God, for everyone that's in the sound of my voice tonight. I thank you, God, for everyone that was touched today. God, I thank you as the word went forth, God. We know it's going to return. It won't return void, but it'll accomplish what it's sent forth to do. Father, I thank you, God, for people's lives being enriched, faith and growing. Father, I thank you for just people being delivered and set free from things in their life that they shouldn't be doing. Father, we thank you, God, that you guide us, you lead us, you direct us. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you that the blood of Christ, the angels that you put in charge around us, God, we're going to keep us safe. And tonight, I speak the blood of Christ as they travel home tonight. We thank you for protection as they travel home. We thank you for protection as they go to work and go to school and they do different activities, God. Lord, we just thank you, God, for all you do for us. We thank you that we can be called the son and daughter of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7 p.m.